Oh, you have got to be kidding!
Jordan jumped to his feet and stared at the main door, his head down like a cornered stag. His hand twitched beside his sword hilt.
I don't care who it is. I don't care if you're my long-lost rich uncle from Hillsdown, a ghost looking for his missing head, or a phantom with piles. You can all go to hell. I am tired and I don't want to be disturbed. Now beat it or I'll fricassee you.
Really, Victor, is that any way to talk to your own sister?
Lady Gabrielle Howard stood in front of Jordan. He ignored her and glared at the lone guard standing outside his door.
Oh, you're not making any friends here, you know. This is not helping your career at all. If one more person comes through this door, I am going to do something extremely unpleasant, probably involving boiling oil and a funnel. All right, you're here. I take it you've got a message for me. Everyone else has. Take a seat, if you can find one.
Gabrielle looked around at the shattered furniture and raised an elegant eyebrow.
Been throwing another of your parties, Victor?
Oh. She picked up one of the overturned chairs, tested the seat carefully, then put the chair down facing Jordan and sat down on it. She smiled brightly at him and laced her fingers together in her lap.
I don't have any particular message for you, my dear. I just thought you and I should have a little chat. It's been 4 years since we last saw each other, and a great many things have changed since then.
So they have.
He sat down on his chair and smiled politely at her. A memory from Victor popped up. You call her Gabby. It's a pet name between you. You could have been very close if you hadn't both been so ambitious and competitive.
I had a visit from your husband earlier on, Gabby. He seems a solid enough sort, quite decent in his way.
He's an honest man. Father thought well of him.
What did Dad have to say about your marriage?
I don't use language like that. He came around eventually, which is more than can be said for Lewis or Dominic.
Oh, stuff them. From what I can tell, William's made a good enough regent, but he shouldn't have proclaimed the right of transference. It'll cause more problems than it solves.
Perhaps.
I like the way you took care of those unreal birds at court. It must have taken quite a bit of nerve to just stand there and trust your magic to see you through.
Thanks for noticing. People tend to forget I've got air magic in my own right. They tend to think of me either as Malcolm's daughter or William's wife.
Jordan looked at her thoughtfully.
As I recall, you were never much of one for little chats, Gabby. Why don't you just say whatever it is straight out? I've had a long day and a longer evening, and I'm really not in the mood for subtlety.
Your time in exile has sharpened your wits. I'm glad some good came of it. You want it straight? Fair enough. Our time is over, Victor. The present royal line simply isn't worthy to sit on the throne of Redheart. Lewis is degenerate, Dominic is insane, and you... To be honest, Victor, you've never really shown any interest in what being king means. It was always too much like hard work for you, and duty and honor were just words. The unreal is stronger now than it's ever been, and it's fighting to break free from Castle Midnight. Redheart needs a strong king on the throne to hold things together and put down the unreal. The right of transference could give us such a king, providing you and our brothers don't interfere. I'm sure William has already told you that Lewis and Dominic have declared war on each other. Don't get involved, Victor. Their troops and my husband's guards are more or less evenly balanced, but if you and your forces were to join the fighting, there's no telling what might happen. You would almost certainly be killed, along with all your people. But the damage would have been done. Stay out of it, Victor. For all our sakes.
Jordan studied her thoughtfully. Gabrielle's face was flushed, and her eyes were burning with an almost disturbing intensity. Without knowing how or why, Jordan knew she was holding something back. Important as this obviously was to her, there was still something she wasn't telling him, something that burned beneath her calm and reasonable words with the red, sullen glow of obsession.
For all our sakes, tell me, Gabby, would it really matter to you at all if I were killed?
Perhaps. Just a little. You used to be a fairly likable sort until that bitch Elizabeth got her claws into you. And you did keep quiet when William and I first got engaged. If Father had found out we were cousins by blood, he would have banned our marriage. I couldn't have stood that. William is everything to me, and always has been. You knew about our blood, but you never said a word. We owe you one for that. But in the end, I have to be more concerned about the kingdom. A civil war is destructive enough at the best of times, but with the unreal poised to break loose at the first opportunity, a civil war now would be madness. I need to know your answer, Victor. Never mind what you told William. Tell me the truth.
It's yours. And it's the same answer I gave your husband. I'll stay neutral if I can, but I doubt very much if Lewis and Dominic will let me. I'll have to fight sooner or later to protect my life, if not my claim to the throne.
You could always leave.
Dominic already suggested that. In fact, he said he'd kill me if I didn't.
Are you going to leave?
No.
So you learned stubbornness as well in your exile. I hope you'll reconsider your position, Victor. But, knowing you, I doubt it. I'll talk to you again tomorrow. Good night.
Jordan quickly got to his feet and escorted her to the door. She nodded a brief goodbye and then left. Jordan leaned wearily against the door and wondered if he had enough strength left to barricade it. He didn't think he could stand another visitor. He shook his head and started yet again toward his bedroom door. He'd almost made it when the globe of water appeared around his head. And suddenly he was drowning. He clawed frantically at the globe, and his hands splashed freely through the water without affecting it. He staggered back and forth, mouth clamped shut to avoid breathing water, and the globe moved with him so that his head was always completely surrounded by the water. It wasn't a very large globe, only just big enough to enclose his head completely, but that was enough to kill him. Already his lungs were aching for air, and his head was growing muzzy. Soon his mouth would open despite him, and once he started trying to breathe water, he was lost. He looked desperately around him, the world rendered vague and distorted by the water before his eyes. His gaze fell on the rack of clay pipes Victor had set out for his guests, and an idea came to him. He lurched over to the rack, still somehow miraculously intact despite all the damage around it, and grabbed one of the long, slender pipes. He broke off the bowl, leaving the long, hollow tube in his hand. He slipped one end in his mouth, and the pipe was just long enough so that the other end stuck out of the water. He sucked in air through the tube, and the ache in his lungs slowly lessened. His head cleared, and some of his panic began to die away. If nothing else, he'd bought himself some thinking time. He didn't have long to come up with an answer. This was water magic, and that meant Dominic. He must be watching somehow, despite the wards. And as soon as he realized why this water spell wasn't working, all he had to do was increase the size of the globe of water, and the Grey Jordan would have given his last performance. He had to get rid of the globe. But how? He didn't have any magic. He forced himself to think calmly and logically. This was an attack by elemental magic. Certain elements canceled each other out, like fire and water. Fire, that was the answer. He palmed one of his flare pellets and crushed it in his hand. Flames roared up around his fingers, and he thrust his hand into the water surrounding his head. Jordan slumped to his knees. He should have stuck to the theater. The worst you had to worry about there was the critics. Jordan leaned back against an overturned table and enjoyed the simple luxury of breathing. It would appear Dominic had decided not to give him 12 hours after all. And yet, if Dominic had really wanted him dead, there were any number of other ways that he could have done it, most of them much more efficient. Filled his lungs with water, for example, or drained all the water from his body. Dominic might be crazy, but he wasn't stupid. Dominic's messenger, the faceless man, had known he was an actor, or at least suspected it. Perhaps they weren't sure one way or the other, and the water attack had been a test to see if he had fire magic. If they were watching, they should be thoroughly confused by now. Jordan got slowly to his feet. He supposed he should be feeling scared or angry or both, but he was just too tired. All that mattered to him now was getting some sleep. Anything else could wait till the morning.
Bed, you and I are going to have a well-deserved night together.
Oh! He flopped down on the bed, fully clothed, too worn out to even make an attempt at undressing. He stared up at the ceiling for a moment, and then his eyes slowly drifted shut.
50,000 ducats. 50,000 ducats. Oh, stuff the bloody ducats.